Danielle, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you're the proprietor of Kids Kingdom, which was Detroit's first indoor playground, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about your business and how the year's been going?
Sure. So we opened as the first indoor playground in May of 2016. And then subsequently, due to a need in the community and responding to some of the questions and feedback we got from customers, we became a licensed child care center in October of 2017. And we continue to operate as an indoor playground on the weekends only. And so who would have known that that shift would have not only saved us in 2017, but really, really saved us during this pandemic, because the indoor playground has not operated since March, but we've been back up and running as a child care center since July. And we've really been able to be an asset to our community, to our own children and our family. It's not just a business. It's kind of a community centerpiece and a story of triumph.
So Danielle, as if it weren't enough keeping a small business afloat and a small business that is going through a great deal of demand right now, I understand your family moved recently after you spent your whole life in Detroit.
Yeah, it's a major, major shift. So with the exception of going away to college and for a time when I was a child, when my father was in the military and I lived outside of the city of Detroit, I have spent, you know, my entire life in Detroit, my husband, his entire life, with the exception of going away to college for a bit. But we came to a place where financially and educationally for our children, it made the most sense to make this shift. And emotionally, it was very difficult for us because it's been a part of our narrative. And ultimately, it came down to us choosing West Bloomfield. We've been embraced by our community and our neighborhood and have found, you know, that they represent our values and beliefs. We've just been really, really, really happy. You know, we miss Detroit. If things would have been different, we would have stayed. But we don't regret our decision.
So with all this in mind, what would you say this year's election meant to you? How are you approaching it?
Wow. I guess I kind of approached it as a personal pursuit and a crusade to, you know, we say this isn't America. We say that the things that we've seen this year in their worst form are not America. But unfortunately, it is America. There are people in America who believe and think and uphold many of the practices that our outgoing president has really put into the atmosphere. But in bringing in a new president and vice president, it also shows that there are a great deal of Americans who don't believe and operate that way. I have not been teaching my children to hate or to say, you know, stereotypical statements about groups of people. But that's what we've been seeing. We've been seeing statements like, you know, Mexicans are going to come into our country and they're rapists. We've seen that, you know, more recently, cities like Detroit and Philadelphia should not be deciding our elections. That type of rhetoric, I think, is so dangerous. It's racist, it's inflammatory, and it incites hatred. Now, I don't believe that the government can save us, but I do believe that we need to have the people and policies in place that helps guide us into a brighter future.
Tell us how you spend Election Day.
Well, I'm one of the many who was an absentee voter. So Election Day, I spent the day, you know, watching the news, waiting it out, being on social media, talking with friends anxiously. And at midnight, I received a clarion call from an individual who participates in my women's network who said, hey, can you talk? It's political. It's serious. Are you able to call me at midnight? And this is not someone who I regularly, well, we've never spoken on the phone. We've not met in person. But she thought that there was something that I could do about what was happening. And she told me, 60 Republicans just showed up to the TCF Center and we need a balance of Democratic poll challengers to come down. I immediately reached out on social media to my women's network, and women literally just started flooding the post. I can come down there. I can do this. I can be there. You know, I have three children, so I couldn't make it until 11:45 the next day. So it was more of a slower actual election day. But what ensued the following day and really, you know, at midnight, it's what took a drastic turn.
People at this point have seen some of the videos of election challengers who support President Trump and the things that they said to election workers and the shouting and some of the efforts to get inside the counting area. Was that consistent with what you saw?
It was and it wasn't. On one hand, what was happening outdoors was certainly much more radical than what was happening inside of the center where they were counting. You know, from the videos, you can see people banging on the doors. That happened. We could hear it and see it. Inside, ballot workers were working. It was primarily calm. But what was happening throughout the space, challengers were coming to the tables and they weren't loud or yelling, but they were saying things like, based upon pending litigation and due to the fact that others can't get in here. Mind you, the space was full of Republicans. They had met their quota. So the workers didn't allow more people to come in. So they were there, they were challenging. They were saying, we want you to stop counting. They were clapping. There was a point where they were clapping and saying, stop the count, stop the count. So we had been trained to say, we will take note of your challenge. They will review the challenge, but they will not stop counting.
What is your takeaway about what just happened on Election Day in 2020? What are your thoughts about where there is to go from here?
I've been thinking about that. I'm inspired. I was very, very happy. You know, as a Black person in America, it means something to me to see brown children standing on that stage. And it means something to me to see families that you can identify with and be relatable to on any level. You know, our incoming president, our president-elect, you know, has experienced loss. You know, his family has gone through things that everyday Americans experience in terms of, you know, addiction and being able to love your family through that. Kamala, for what it's worth, for people arguing what her background is or whatever, she is a woman of color. I can identify with that. And so that inspires me. That brings me hope. At the same time, I'm a little worried about what's next, because I honestly have felt like the Trump presidency was a direct challenge against us having 8 years of the first Black president, of having a very strong, educated, bright example for Americans. I am hopeful that now with Biden and Harris, we're going to go forward and not backwards again, but I don't have anything to go off of. So I'm equally concerned that we could backtrack.
We've just got about 3 minutes left, but I wonder where you come down on the distrust in the election system that, you know, a significant portion of Michigan's white electorate now has.
You know, I'll say this. When Trump won the last time, I was disappointed because I did vote for Hillary. But I never said they cheated. I never said the election was stolen. I accepted the results, although they were not the ones that I wanted. I think it is very, very disappointing. It is misleading and it is disgusting. To say that our electoral process is not working. It's not real. I take an offense to the fact that we believe that Detroiters can't decide an election. Philadelphians can't decide an election because they're Black. And so to me, that's saying that they don't deserve the right to vote. And if you do vote, then we're going to invalidate that vote. And so I have faith in our process. I do believe that we had a fair election. And I just know that there are going to be millions of Americans out there who are going to believe otherwise. And all we can do is educate and try and turn those lies on their heads.
Danielle North, you've had such a crazy year. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us. And we're hoping for calmer things for 2021 for you and your family.
Thank you, April. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on it.